We'll call the Hamburg City Council meeting to order for November 20th, 2017 at 7:09. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome all to this evening. We'll start with public comments. We'll move on to agenda review and adoption. Anybody have anything that you need to add, delete, pull off the consent?
Just on the agenda, Mayor and Council, one thing I just want to point out. Health insurance rates cost analysis is not in here. I have those copies because there is private data on there. So I will hand them out at that time for council review. And then one other thing on consent agenda. I put in a request for November 30th because at the end of this month, I'll be maxed at my allowed vacation hours. I'd be more than willing to work that day because I have things to do. If the council would want to take that off the agenda and discuss the possibility of allowing me to carry over them hours versus lose them.
Well, then we'll pull off the approved time off request and put that under new city business. Anybody else have any other amendments or changes to the agenda? If not, I'd look for motion to adopt as amended. Moved and seconded to adopt the agenda as amended by removing the time off request for Grunhagen and putting on the new city business. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. I look for a motion to approve the consent agenda with the removed item.
And then just a quick note is I checked. I was hoping we could do one notice for all them public hearings. Matt questioned that. He's like, specifically says notice. The league was like, you could maybe do it. So I thought, nope, got to do it. And then also what we got to do is make sure we designate times. So that's why you'll see I have them for 7, 7:10, 7:15.
For a motion, so for the consent agenda.
Okay.
Moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. We'll move on to Old City Business lease agreement with snow removal.
So reason I got that on there is because it was brought up last meeting about the possibility of purchasing the property. Steve was going to check back, so I just want to see if Mr. Trebish wants to keep that item on the table, or that's mute. Okay.
So for the council on that, so what we'll be doing for snow removal is, unless there's an alternative way, we'll be taking it and putting it down in the park.
And kind of where they have the pole event there, along the railroad tracks there, tractor pole. The plan is to push it all the way back to the ditch there, is the thought process on that.
It's not hauling it all the way?
Well, the thought process was 6 inches or more.
Haul.
You know, when we have them big snows. And then otherwise, then we'll push it to that pile. You know, on the smaller snowfalls.
Can we just wait it to the side then for?
Yeah.
And then if it starts to build up, we'll clean it up then?
Yep.
Just clean up in front of the bar and Maltz's cabinet shop?
Yep, that main sidewalk area there. Yep.
Everything else to the side?
Yep.
And then we'll stay from the post office and I'll clean that around the hall like I usually do and put that on the slot over here.
Yeah, the hall lot. Yep. Yeah. And then our thought process was at 6 inches. You know, otherwise. So.
Or if we hit like 10 2-inch, 3-inch fall or something and then we get it piled up.
Yep.
And if, I'll watch it. If something does start to accumulate, I'll go in with the loader and grab a few buckets and make them.
Perfect.
It won't be perfectly cleaned up, but at least it'll be a nice moment. Okay?
Perfect.
Thank you, everybody.
Yep. Sounds good. The lead public education program.
Right, so you were made aware of some of the high lead results we got at the last meeting.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden then we got another letter. Mm-hmm. Now we got this lead education program that we have to do. So we have to send out a letter to everybody in town notifying, you know, of the issue. One of the things we talked with Kurt Reitz, who works with Mr. Schultz with the water and sewer. And what can happen is your water can change over the years. We also have older pipes. So kind of the conclusions we came to with this whole thing was, is one, we're going to retest, which I believe Mr. Schultz is currently doing. The other item to look at is we talked to Mr. Reitz, and he said one thing would be is we might want to look at adding like polyphosphates to the system. And what that does is puts a chemical into the water that coats the pipes. So that way it kind of keeps your water from becoming, you know, possible where we have lead joints, because that's typically where we have lead in the system. So that would be like a proactive thing for us to do, because no matter what, once you get them results, you're on the system. 20 homes every 6 months we have to test now. And until we have two clear meeting requirements, two testing of meeting requirements, then we'd go back to the every 3 year portion of that. It's still hard. I don't know if you all got the email, but there was an email from Mr. Reitz, and kind of he talked about some of a lot of the questions we have with the Department of Health. So he called the Department of Health. He got the same impression I did, that they didn't seem that concerned. But no matter what, we have to adhere to this program. Well, to me, I'm still concerned. I mean, some of them numbers seem high to me as compared to the requirements. But what we are finding out is it sounds like, too, were these ones that tested high. We don't know for sure all of them, but we know one of them, it was a line that hasn't been used for 3 years. So you kind of almost get a, I wouldn't know if you'd say a false negative kind of type test, but the other coincidence was is we talked to Department of Health, that seemed ironic that the, you know, the results were the same for lead and copper. I mean, what are the chances of that? But no matter what, we can't get out of it. We're stuck. We have to do this. So by December 18th, all these letters need to go out to everybody. And it has to be everybody, institutions, those type things. We kind of, and then we were worried, well, do we got to send it outside the city? So Department of Health said, no, we just have to cover everybody that's on our system. So one of the things we can do, thought process we had with kind of the powwow we had with me, Greg, and Mr. Reitz was send these letters out, but also maybe even get direction from council on these thoughts too, but is sending out a letter too of what we're doing to be proactive. Thought process would be, it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to maybe add this polyphosphates to our system. It'd be easy enough to do. I don't know what the cost is. That's something we'd have to look at. We think we could implement it quite cheaply by just adding an outlet and another tank. Then we'd have to look in to see what the chemical cost would be. But kind of me and Greg's impression was, I think it would be good to be proactive, because if tests come back negative again, I don't know if necessarily any of us would want public backlash. I mean, and I think we're here to kind of do the right thing and be proactive in making sure that, you know, our water's meeting the requirements issued by the Department of Health. So that's kind of the real question I have to bring forth to the council, is if we want to look into adding the polyphosphate. It's polyphosphates, right, Greg? Am I correct? Adding that to our water system, which we believe we can do, and do it within one of the existing rooms we have by just buying the container, adding the chemical, tapping into the effluent line, and you know, also, you know, our fear is, you know, these numbers, we're looking at going from 10 to 20 and twice a year, not every three. So our chances of having another high result have increased dramatically. So it's just my concern that I think it would be in the best interest of the city to be proactive on this issue.
So polyphosphates, is that something that you start and just continue every so often, or is it just one treatment?
Yeah, and the permanganate and
this might be pretty common.
It does in time wells change the aquifers and stuff, and the water can get like a higher alkalinity capacity, which
eats away your pipes.
Water is just a carrier of the lead and the copper. But as that eats away on stuff, if your water is acidy, then that, what it does, it puts a coating on the pipes so it doesn't take the lead and the copper off the pipes to where it is. Actually, there's quite a few cities that do use that.
Okay.
Well, I'm taking into account the age of our system. Wouldn't be a bad idea to start doing it.
So one by me was it? What's that?
That one by me wasn't a red joint.
No, that was actually broken, but two in front of the hall and then one in the alley. That was all original lead. Mm-hmm. So we know what's out there.
That's pretty old water main.
I don't know what the polyphosphates cost, but basically you would have to have an electrician move an outlet, tank, and a pump.
And then the chemical.
Well, do we need a decision tonight, or is it something that we can look into?
I would say tonight.
Make that decision.
Okay. I mean, because we, well, wouldn't have to, but I'd like to have that decision, because what we would like to do is then just, I know we don't want to engineer costs, but at least have them involved so they know what's going on. Would be my recommendation, because if we ever get into any more other things, and our thought process was is they could maybe help us in drafting a letter along with the letter from the Department of Health out explaining what we're doing, show the corrective measures, so that way we're reassuring the public that we're doing the right things, we're taking the right steps to to correct the issue, even if they were false, possible false tests, or they don't show the true amount of lead in the water because it's, from unused pipes.
I think as a council, we have to do just for safety of the public. So I have a motion to go ahead and just make an offer to the electrician to get started on this.
So I'm moved and seconded to get an electrician, tank, pump,
polyphosphates.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Done.
Right.
And they're trying to, they're not saying you have to, but if they come up with another bad test,
right,
and it's going to be, why don't you go with
Yeah. And considering the age of the system, I think it's just the correct thing to do.
Letter that you send out to the residents, you could maybe put that in there and say that we have to
definitely. That's why we want to send a letter along with the required letter, so that way we can show we're being proactive. Yep.
Okay, move on then to special meeting for a budget workshop.
It's just a reminder. Just kind of a reminder, December 5th, December 17th, 7 o'clock.
And then the new city business 2018 final budget, 2018 final property tax levy. Do we want to start with the health care, or do we want to move to the city business?
Why not? Let's look at the fee schedule first. So the fee schedule will be the last couple pages on the budget. So I don't know if there's any discussion. We'll get into the water, sewer, and stormwater rates as we do the budget here. But as far as rental rates, I don't know what council's thoughts are. The only thing I can really see looking at is, you know, with all the improvements we've done to the hall, that may be a consideration we may want to look at. Kind of the comment we get, it's still a, you know, reasonably priced place to rent. We have put in, you know, probably $100,000 into that hall the last year and a half. So some things to take in consideration, although, you know, not all that kind of goes against the hall because you got the city shop in there too. So, but, you know, otherwise, you know, going throughout there, we've done wages, election judges, all them other things cover our costs. I necessarily don't see any other things that we need to change other than the return check fee. What did I say that was, Tamara?
30.
Yeah, there's a state statute on that, that it can't be more than 30. Yeah. And if we've had to charge that, we've only charged the 30 to make sure we're in compliance with the state. So, so that's just something we should get corrected on the claims list. And then mileage rate, we just always go with the whatever the 2018 mileage rate would be. Yeah, other than that, other than, you know, like I said, the water and sewer.
That I had this year, one of the residents brought up a concern about animals and the fact that we've been cracking down on some of the other ordinances that we have and things like that. Do we want, so a thought I have on that is the city of Mayer, I think it's $2 annually or it's $10 a life. Is what their license is, if I remember right.
Yeah, a lot of them have that lifetime.
So my thought is, instead of, I don't know how many animal licenses we do every year at $10 a piece. Yeah, my thought is that it's not very many in that. But a thought would be, take that from an annual to a lifetime number, and maybe it's $5, maybe it's, I don't know how important it is for the license. I mean, all it is a license, and then what is it? I mean, what are we really doing with it? But we do have an ordinance in place that animals are supposed to be licensed in town. So,
it's a discussion I think every city has. Not many of them really push to enforce it.
Right.
From what I've gathered, information I've received.
And I have been in the newsletter for sure once, not a couple of times. Just letting people know that if they come up and register their dog, then we have an idea of what dog belongs where.
And we've discussed this with past councils, and kind of the concept was, at that time they even talked about eliminating it, because they didn't feel like enforcing it. But my suggestion was we at least keep it there to CYA. So that way, you know, it covers us if something happens. I mean, the whole reasoning behind it is to make sure that they have their vaccination. So if somebody gets bit, which we did have that issue this year. So I wouldn't, go down that route. But, I mean, ways of enforcing it, you know, I put it out on listservs, and I really didn't get no straightforward answers as to how you can go about going and enforcing it unless you're going to have the CSO go door to door. You got a dog? You know, I don't know. I mean, we all know, you know, you almost have to think 50% of the town has a dog. And we get 2 licenses a year, so you do the math.
But as I told this citizen that came up, I said, I will bring it up when we talk about the city's fee schedule.
So I just, right, and so, and then
what the council wants to do is what the council wants.
Along with that, reason why we keep it in place, so let's say we do impound their dog, and we keep it at our licensed impound. Well, they have to get a license before it'll get released, or if an animal does bite someone and they don't have a license, they got to come up and get a license, or they can get, fined for not having a license. Really, it just comes down to how do you want to enforce it?
Any thoughts from staff or council?
Sorry.
I mean, does the council, would the council, what's the council's thoughts on if we went to not an annual, but we just went to a lifetime license? If that, do you think that would be?
I still don't think people come up and get licensed.
I was going to say, yeah, one person will do it and 10 won't. And I'm going to say, why should I do it? Because I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to do it because my 3 dogs don't leave the house. Mm-hmm. Why should I get a license for my dog? They don't go to the vet either, except to get their puppy shots. That's the last time unless they get really sick. Mm-hmm. And I've had 2 dogs that never seen the vet besides getting their puppy shots. But they never leave the house. I mean, or leave my property without affecting my supervision. It's the only time they're outside. So I'll be honest with you, I'm not getting my license. Yeah, fine, send me the fine. I don't care. I'm trying to be up front with you. I'm not getting a damn license. So the way it is.
Like I said, I told the person I'd bring it up, and
I honestly don't think it would change anything.
Yeah,
I'm not opposed to it though either, because maybe there's some people that say, well, that's one time.
They want to get the fine, let them.
They get a puppy, and then they say, I'm done for life.
I mean, these people, if I had a dog, like Duchess, my hunting dog, yeah, I had her license, you know, because she was outside, she had to go to the vet, she needed her shots, you know, for rabies and stuff like that, because she's a hunting dog.
Mm-hmm.
But not another rat terrier in the house.
Yeah, I mean, you can switch it to a lifetime.
You know, and if you switch it to lifetime, I don't know if that kind of defeats, you know, because then how do we know if they're up to date on their shots? I mean, kind of the purpose there is to make sure that they're, you know, the rabies vaccine, you know, that's always the biggest thing or the reasoning behind it. You go to lifetime, well, they bring that in one time. How do I know if they keep up on them? I mean, I don't know. It's tough.
And with that, somebody's going to argue, well, what if my dog dies?
Is it prorated?
Yeah, 2 years. Are you going to give me $8 back because I only got 2 years out of the 10 and it's supposed to live? You know, like a battery in a car or something? I don't think it's going to work that way.
Is that refundable within 30 days? Or, I don't know. It's, it is. And it's an issue every city has with that one.
I just feel like, why is it our responsibility? I mean, it's their responsibility as a dog owner to choose whether they get vaccinations or not. I don't know.
You know, I mean, a lot of times when you do something, you look at the benefits of it, right? So when you look at a resident, what do they benefit? The only thing is maybe it's getting registered. So if CSO calls me and says, I got tag 68, who's that belong to?
Yeah.
You know. Other than that, I don't know what other benefits there are because then it's.
Yeah, so you get with a bigger dog that's outside or something. It could possibly be
something. You know, and ours is animal license, so what are you going to do? Chase around every stray cat?
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know when our animal license was put into ordinance and things of that nature. I don't know if we had a house full of cats or a house full of dogs or anything like that, but or if this is just like any of these other ordinances that come up. Well, you know, 8 cities to our west and 5 cities to our east are doing it. We'll do it too.
I think it's Chaska that did kind of a cool idea. They provided, but here again, that was probably at city cost. I don't know all the details because we were going to do it and take advantage of it. But then our dog, the shots they were offering, didn't need them. But what they did is they had some vets had one day where you came in, if you bought your license, if you bought a license, you got the shots free. So it was kind of a way to kind of get people to get their licenses and getting their shots. So, but there again, I'm sure that city fell back upon, that fee fell back upon the city, so.
Yeah. Well, is there any appetite to change or just leave as is?
And I think there's something to leave as is now, something we can talk about. We talked about meeting in January to go through ordinances.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just another thing to add to it.
Leave as is. Okay. Hold on my brain up. Do we need to change anything on the pop? Are we still getting charged the same?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it went up 3 cents. Sorry. Is that about 68 cents? So. No, I, to be honest, I just think it's kind of one of those things. They have a corner on the market and they sock it to you. And I'm not going to lie. I'm just going to be straightforward. The prime example is to take the 20 ounce bottles, right? You know, one time we thought we bucked the system and go buy them at Sam's Club. Well, the only place you can get 20 ounce bottles is right from the distributor. Same with the containers, right? It's that, you know, it'd probably be cheaper for us if I pop on sale and sell cans. You know, but the problem you get into is you start getting too high, you won't make any money because if really a buck, that's about, really it's 2 mixed drinks. You know, and you figure you can buy a can for less than 50 cents, right? So.
There's no equipment that we have to buy it and working good.
I think just some labels. We talked to them. Did they ever do that?
Yes. I don't know when they were there, how they got in, but
they're on there. They're on there, okay.
I don't know if we did
it. I asked them if they're not.
Right.
Yeah. And I asked them to leave spares, and I didn't see any spares. So.
True.
Maybe they use the tools they stole it.
Any other thoughts on the fee schedule outside of the water, sewer, and storm?
Yeah, like I said, what are council's thoughts on the hall? And like I said, we've put a lot into the hall. Looks very nice. Community hall rates, so the schedule.
What other places do you
know? You know, it's hard to compare because of our size too. So I just go by comments that we get from people, and they say it's cheap.
Yeah, they say it's reasonable. And the thing that we don't have that a lot of other places do is a full kitchen, dishes, linens.
And they provide the linens or
right,
set up.
We don't have any of that kind of stuff.
But also we... Well, yeah, that is a big one. But the other thing is, too, they save a ton of money by being able to bring in their own beer and own caterers, which a lot of places have that, too. So there's a lot of trade-offs, and it's really hard to, you know, pinpoint it to, you know, other places, but.
And here a lot of it's the cheapest around for the size.
Yeah.
And here a lot of you guys put your
Yeah. Yeah.
When's the last time they've been raised?
Not last year, we raised them 100.
Raised it up 100.
Yeah.
Just across the board for non, sorry, for non.
Yeah, for, yeah, for all of it.
Okay.
You know, and two, I think we're one of the most generous.
Timing.
Timing.
Yeah.
Letting people in.
Yeah.
We have another 50 or 100 or, you know.
Because we let them come in and get the keys at 9 that Friday morning if it's not rented already when they schedule. So they can get the keys at 9 Friday, set up, have it all night, have it for their reception Saturday,
yeah, so they get
and then clean up by noon Sunday. So they're getting a good chunk of time. Really?
So. So I heard
is it a few people? You guys can spend dinner here.
What was it?
50? Next to 50 or?
We're at what now?
For hall rental.
850?
From 750 to 800.
Yeah, so we just raise all the rates 50 there because we have different times. What I'd look at is the hall reservations for upstairs.
Yeah, I'll go along with that.
Any other thoughts? Austin Travis?
Yeah, that's good to me. I mean, we can have a little light in the wintertime, which the door is wide open. So. It is. I mean, they don't care. The door is wide open all the time. So. Mm-hmm. I guess as long as we're making the bill, and I know without doing that, but we just can't. Yeah. The emotion on that?
Not yet, no, because we'll have the public hearing and then we'll adopt it at the December 12th meeting.
Will the hall deposit, the hall damage deposit go up to them? Or are you going to give it at 400?
Thoughts on that?
Like if you want to do anything with the hall deposit,
right. Knock on wood.
Damage
we haven't come across that needing more than that, but you never know.
To rent the hall, it's going to take us. It takes $150 or $550 just to rent it, right? I mean, it says $100
to hold it.
Okay. And then $400 for damage deposit.
Yeah.
That 150 comes off of the original price. Yeah.
Yes, correct. And that's refundable if they cancel 90 days before the rental.
I don't see why not. I mean, they're going to get it back if it's turned out, you know, if it's in good shape, they'll get it back. If there's something wrong, you know, you don't get nothing for $400 now, we'll just phone that out.
So thoughts to go to damage spots for 450?
Yeah.
Anything else in the community hall rental or even the park shelter or the community center here?
Community center here is going to go up $50 too.
No,
just all
right. Hall, but now's the time if we want to do any of those changes too. And I don't think we've changed those rates for a while, right? Those have been 150 for a long time.
Yeah, okay. Here.
Mm-hmm.
Go 25 on those, and okay. That's a percentage, basically, you know, $50 on 750 and then $50 on 150. That's a
yeah, you can
pretty
do
wide
it.
Swing percentage.
I mean, you can always do it, and then if we get feedback, we can bring that back to council. So.
I don't know. I think you should just keep it up. This rents more than that. I mean, I think it should be.
$200?
Council? I didn't think it'd be any last year.
been a few years.
Yeah. Like I said, yeah.
If people are bitching more, we can always bring it down to them.
Right, yeah. Right. Same with Parkton?
Yeah.
And then also just clear local businesses then is half that. So that would go to 100. Or you might keep that at 75. Because what we've always done for local businesses is half of the rental fee. Okay.
Anything else on the city schedule?
Question, I'm going to pay for these meetings, man. I can see my name on the top here, so I can... Yeah, I'm not just sitting here all year.
That's true. Well, we got a good deal on that.
Well, I apologize.
You guys, we'll get you for 2018.
Now I know why. Now I know why my carrier pension has been
you guys had me. You got me here for a whole year.
I'll personally make sure your check gets signed. Got it. And add you.
I'm curious about the water and stuff. If I had to order new bill-like forms.
Yeah, I'd probably wait till after. Actually, the new forms we had, I think we're, like we talked, we're going to want to put that notice on them, the Department of Health notice.
Anything else, Council?
We put a kibosh to that now, so technically, you know, so.
The only one that really gets water is known.
Yeah.
If there's nothing else,
I will
make those changes and we'll adopt them at some point in time.
Yep, so that'll be for the December 12th meeting, the fee schedule. I'll just keep it with the budget. The other thing, like health insurance, I don't know if you just want to take that, maybe you just want to even consider and move that to when we discuss employee wages, health insurance coverage. Okay. And then we can dive into the budget. So from when we set the proposed budget, I made the changes in there. I have made a few more tweaks and changes. So the one thing I want to point out is some of the changes I made. It'll be page 8. Oh, wait. I apologize, not page 8. We don't want to go that far yet. It will be page 4 in the budget. It's just kind of line item number 204, the net income loss. From when we set the budget, we set the budget at, what was it, 9.51% is what we had set to proposed. So I have made some tweaks on, I've gotten some numbers in, and also, of course, wages will be another one. We'll look at adjusting health insurance, those type things, those percentages tonight. And then I will address them for the December 5th meeting. But as you can see, I've made some changes because I got the numbers in for insurance, what insurance rates next year. So we'll actually be saving there a few dollars there, about $1,800. Kind of the big main things we had added is if we just go to the wish list. So these would be kind of the main things to discuss and consider as to whether we want to keep it in the budget or if we want to look at working that 9.5% down to a lower rate. So the big things we had added from when we last met is we had $10,000 in there for the hall floors on the bar side. We had $11,500 in there, replace the steps. Excuse me. I'm sorry, I'm on page 18. I'm just going off the kind of our budget wish list. So kind of we know the, for sure the front steps are in rough shape. We even know the flooring in the hall too is in rough shape, needs some TLC too. It's kind of a monthly ordeal of Greg replacing tiles up there on that bar side. The company that did it, we just don't think they used enough glue. It just was not a very good job.
Painted on that side, you can see the floor really, really well. Everybody's been up there since it got painted on that side. But
who hasn't seen it since it's been painted?
You been up there, you said? No. Calling bingo the Friday before Thanksgiving, looking over to the bar side. Normally, I can see about halfway into the bar side. I can see all the way from that angle till the angle hits down. You can see it. It's very bright on that side.
And then just up. Spacious, yeah. Greg, what do you think? You know, we had come in and trim trees now. You think that's a possibility we could take that out of the budget next year? You see any need for tree trimming next year? Or should we keep some monies in there for?
I haven't trimmed in 2 years. I've not seen the fellow for 2 years. So he took it back quite a ways, which if you just nip off the edge, you can get back and back and back for 100 years of paint. And I don't foresee anything at all.
So that's a potential, you know, $1,000 we had in the budget for tree trimming. Other things we have in there is lion shelter, that roof. The other thing is we talked about changing out all the lighting, changing everything to LED lighting. That's another thing we can look at reducing because we can probably just piecemeal that, do something each year. Because basically what we have in there now is the park, the memorial, and the water treatment plant is what's all in there, about that $8,000. I'd say probably the memorial lighting would be priority. That's on the most, probably sucks the most juice. You know, and that was $2,450 roughly the cost for that. So that's another area of looking, you know, cutting back. You know, we should maybe measure that up once, see what that footage we would need on that side of the bar side. You know, if a person could get away with finding some type of commercial flooring, that locking flooring.
Or even the moment with that orange window.
But then you always got seams too, so. It's
maybe something gettable for Nolan.
something.
Yeah, we could maybe do that.
I didn't take a look at it.
Because even the painter said that too. There's a commercial flooring that can take a beating that.
Yeah, he said it's all interlocking. Some stuff doesn't come down. Like I got the forest chipping and stuff like that.
That's why it's floating a little more versus, you know, gets that pressure and then breaks.
Everything is used just more of a kind of a vertical chipping. I got to go up there. That they were setting up for the wedding because they were rolling the cart and all of a sudden six piles of broken tiles and you're up there with the glue and the new tile and putting the stuff down.
Council thoughts? Like I say, right now we have a proposed budget. What we proposed earlier is about 9.51.
Yep.
Looks like though we have, if I'm reading this correctly, we have about 46,000 or 37,000. Which one?
For what's that?
For Slack. I mean, are we accounting for all 637,976? Or do we have some sitting cash?
Go to best total. Go to. You know, with the adjustments I made, this is what we can, you know, adjust right now. Is the 1,800 just out of the general fund?
I mean, your debt service is pretty cut and dry. Your debt is your debt.
On the street fund, you got to call up if we filed the form for $3,000. Is that something that? Where we do that every year.
What's that?
The debris pile?
The debris.
Yeah, or is that something we could pile up and...
Well, the pile is getting bigger and bigger. I just talked to Timmy that one day and he went out there and looked at it. I didn't even kind of say, you guys got a place for it.
What is it?
It's just all the street sweepings and, you know, like when they...
Chippings.
Have a main break or something, play it up there for the... Smack, they haul off and they haul the gravel and stuff in. Yeah,
is there a pretty big pile out there?
It's a big pile, yeah. I don't remember how many of those that came bigger than we figured so much per roll, but it's the size of the pile instead of being pretty bad. Even it doesn't hurt anything, also, but it just takes up more and more space. I mean, the doors out there to push it up again now because the box allocation goes so high. But
so you don't know, run it over and run out there.
You know, and also to take into consideration, you know, we got a little time here to think about it. Also, you know, for our, I kind of talked about it last meeting, we have about $90,000 in our cash reserves also to play with, where we still are meeting our 6-month cash flow where we need to be. So that's something too we have to look at and determine if maybe some of these things we want to take out that 90 and then to take the rest of that money and put that towards future capital projects. I mean, it looks daunting, but the bottom line, I guess I'm trying to say is the city's in a good position here to, you know, maybe get some things done, use them reserves. Like I said, there's about $90,000 there. You know, but also to keep in mind, you know, that we do have some big street projects coming down the line. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll be able to mill and overlay, finish up some of our seal coating next year on the streets that need it, and we'll be looking at Railroad and Sheely for the mill and overlay. But then the bigger streets we're going to get into is Jacob. you know, and you can look, there are, I have in the budget there, city reserves, it's one of the last pages that kind of breaks everything down where we have all our reserves. So, you know, at the end of this year, we'll have about 99,000 in equipment replacement funds. We have $108,000 in city maintenance. So there's monies there also. So we kind of want to keep those monies so when we have them big street projects, you know, we're able to do them. You know, if we want to kind of continue on the way we've been going by not having to assess, you know, mill and overlay projects.
No, council, any big changes you want to make before? I know we have a budget workshop next Tuesday, so we'll be talking and rehashing it then a little bit more.
The fall basement repairs, is that something we could kind of throw on hold yet?
Well, that's not in the budget. We don't have that in the budget. So we can see, like, that first column there, Scotty's estimated.
Yeah.
And then the last column, if the number's there, then it's in the budget. Whereas there, you can see, I just have it highlighted because we've discussed it.
Yeah.
But I haven't, I don't have anything in the budget to account for that.
So we're going to buy the first steps.
Yeah, that would be the front and back. And then what we talked to was maintenance free, as long as the estimated prices hold.
It's not bad, right? Maintenance free. Yes.
It was 7,600, 7,800, somewhere in there for the front steps. No, but then.
Council, any additional thoughts? Otherwise, you can.
We're on the street. We've got 15,000 and 28,000.
Mm-hmm.
Both of that in there? Both of them in there?
Yes, correct. 15,000 for basically that's for, you know, seal coating, crack filling. And then 28,000 to redo, Sheelian Railroad, since we have already completed Central Street, so. You know, and then the other thing, just looking at, you know, I've kind of gone through the water and sewer funds. Just looking at projections, just some of the things I want to point out in the water fund. Kind of the biggest thing I think we're looking at will be being faced with is, knock on wood, and we're hoping it's just a pump replacement for well two here. I got 6,500 in there right now. Greg, you have any idea what you're thinking that's going to run? I mean, we're waiting on some numbers from McCarthy Well right now. So once I get kind of their thoughts.
Justin last week, and he said he was going to give all the numbers to Tim McCarthy and start comparing to other years, and they're trying to pinpoint it down. But you know, we got a 600 central well. He said it could go up to 20 grand. Best case scenario, the casing is good.
You just need to pump.
Not the electric draw and the windings and everything else was good, but you know, just the pump, you tell him everything else could be done off because well number two was the only one used for a lot of years. It wasn't switched back and forth, so that would have pumped a lot more water than well number three has. So, like I said, electric was the draw and everything was all good. That all tested all good. But when I turned it on for him to test it, it set off the alarms and it was down to 57 gallons of
You know, within the water fund, we still have $8,000 in there. One of the things we'd be looking at is we want to add to that to be able to get more meters done and out. The contracted services that we have with Mr. Reitz, I've made the adjustment there, cut that in half, showing that in the water fund. But with all that, with our current rates, we're still looking at about a deficit of about $3,000 in the water fund. I mean, we do have reserves at about around $102,000, so there's a little bit of room there for cash flow needs.
What would rates seem to be at break even?
To add 3, so I'll just go into my little. You know, we'd have to have an increase to break even of about $2,000 or 2%.
Then our other fund we're okay on, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Be another added expense. They're not cheap. No. You know, and then the sewer and, I mean, sewer, if you look at the sewer fund, you can see we're kind of running a deficit there. And that main reason for we'd be running a deficit in the sewer fund is for the, you know, continuation, 15 grand for the I&I program. But as you can see, the sewer fund's quite healthy. So I think the cash reserves can absorb that because we have about $330,000 in the sewer fund, so that's sufficient.
And then, I suppose it would be helpful for the water fund to know if we do make a deep change what that phosphate conversation is going to be like. If that stuff comes back at, I don't know, $4,000 a year or $2,000 a year or $10,000 a year, that will alter that.
Yeah. We'll get in touch with Hawkins and see what the cost of that chemical is. Yeah. I'm sure that's going to be based on, you know, volume pumps, so. Yeah, we'll look into that.
Have that back by next Tuesday or the Tuesday after that?
I would think at least the rates. I mean, you know what the cost of the chemical is. Probably $1,000 to get set up, and then whatever the chemical cost is.
So it'd be something we'd want to weigh, council. Maybe my recommendation: we want to look at that additional cost and that deficit, because if we're going to raise water, if we have to raise water rates 2 to 4, maybe 5%, depending on what all these other numbers come back as, are we really going to want to increase the levy? 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.5%. You know, in essence, we're raising double digits. It's a little bit different, I mean, the numbers, but it's still double digits. So there's something to think about as we move forward.
So I'm adding that to the wish list. The polyphosphates, and we'll look into those costs.
Any other thoughts on the water sewer rates? Or the budget? Any other tweaks you want Jeremy and staff to look over before the 5th? Can I excuse that? If not, then we'll move on to council reports. Councilman Buckington. Councilman Tracy. Councilman Trevish. Councilman Dunn.
Central is done. You're all aware. So, the only other thing I have is something that we could think about is Gary, and I haven't talked to him yet, but we've got three streets in this end of town on the west side of the tracks that Jacob, they're all a little shitty. And then we got Maria left back in this corner, and then everything is good on this side of the tracks. Took a little drive to the other side, and
Brad Street's bad.
Brad Street is getting started again, so
yeah.
We'll have to prioritize our streets and how we're going to do them and how much we want to fight off.
Yeah. Definitely Brad Street. Brad Street needs to be looked at and addressed too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's been pretty beat up over the years.
But I think sticking with the program could go with the oldest streets in town. Not necessarily saying that's how we have to do it, but because I realize that down there probably get traffic a little bit more than what some of these up here do. You know, there's not that much, I don't think, that it's traveled on railroad chilly, but it still needs to be done. It definitely gets pretty old. So I would say that one. And I looked at Maria, it's an old street, it's a 1988 street, but you know what? It's not that bad of shape yet. So it's got a year or two yet. But we can live with that one. I think Railroad Shealy and Jake here will be the next two that we tackle. Anyways, that's the majority.
One thing I have is, in the last meeting, we talked about looking into city credit cards, so we might have to work through the reimbursement process. Where are we at with that?
I haven't got to that yet. With the budget and everything else, it's on my to-do list, so it is. So I'm thinking we're all fine with just going through the local bank.
Okay. And then payroll, are we moving forward with?
Yep,
with
on the well? Direct deposit, yep.
One thing too, time off, doesn't mean to your business.
Oh yeah,
you're right. Very much, yeah.
Let's jump back to that then. I don't have anything else. So there, I don't know how many people are aware of our handbook in that. But in the handbook, what Jeremy's referencing to comes to accrual of time off.
I believe it's 256 hours.
Yep. So it says maximum accrual of vacation leave shall not exceed 2 times the employee's earned vacation for the year, but not to exceed 256 hours or 32 days. No vacation hours shall be accrued after employee attains the accrued maximum hours. The city council may increase the maximum hours of which employee must use his or her vacation for extenuating circumstances. Employees cannot select to waive vacation leave and receive cash payment and stuff. So the question now becomes, as Jeremy mentioned, he's gonna hit the 256 in that by the end of the month. And so in order to alleviate that, he has to take time off. So the question comes before council, if we just grant the time off and have him have the day off, or we can extend it to go above it to whatever number we want for this month. I'm assuming there'll be time off maybe in December that we'll be back under. So that's what we have before us. Any thoughts?
I haven't seen
doing his job, he does his job. He needs a day off here and wants to switch it around. I go through this every day at work with my boss, so I know it's a pain. So, I just say, if you want to switch a day out, my feeling is let him switch a day out.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
The time is the time, what the heck. I don't think he's going to take advantage of us to make a habit out of this. That's what he's asking for.
Yep.
That's my feeling.
So you want to give him a day off, or you want to be able to
extend it? He said it. Well, he wants whenever he wants to take it. He wants to have work to do and wants to work and wants to switch it out.
How many hours will you accrue in next month?
See, I accrue 16, basically 16 hours a month. And right now I'm at, let me just pull them numbers up so you have them. I don't know, did I send that to everybody or just you, Chris? That's something I'll forward to the rest of council too. So at the end of the month, sorry, it's loading.
Put in a sheet you sent me as of the end of September, it looks like here. You're at 255.95.
Correct. So then if you add, be at 272 roughly the end of this month.
So, Council, if I'm hearing right, we're wanting to go ahead and allow them to exceed the 256. Is there a time frame in which you want to put on that?
Do you have vacation schedule for some? I mean, you have any in the works?
Well, I have 2 days now to, so that way, you know, I cover them hours, but the problem is December, January, February are some of my busiest months.
Gift some of it to Greg and Tammy, I'm guessing.
We'd have to change the handbook for that.
Yeah.
In the state of Minnesota, labor laws.
Oh, yeah, okay. Probably. And probably too much work for that.
I suppose we'd have to draw the line somewhere, I guess.
Yes, yeah, I think, I agree.
I'm okay with you. I'm okay with you going over. You know your workload, but I mean,
well, it's just now. I hate to lose another day because I kind of lost a day today because of dental appointment. You know, we got budget stuff going on. Got to get ready for year end stuff. I have the auditors coming December 13th to start the audit already. So it's just taking another day is. I mean, when I take a day off, I pay for it, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, like you, if you do construction, that wall doesn't magically go up if you take a day off, you know.
So we're looking for a time frame, basically. It's just being knowledge, right?
It would actually be 16.
2 days. Yeah, I don't know if the council's acceptable to through the end of March. I have vacation in March, so that way then it'll be, you know, that would take care of it. Like I said, just only because January, super busy, February, super busy because of the audit. It's tough to take days off. And then always, unfortunately, I have three kids. You always seem to have a couple sick days in there with winter, which hurts too, but yeah, I'm just trying to be realistic, you know.
Yeah. And like, I guess that's what I was asking before I jumped over, but like, do you have a vacation in mind where you got something in the future where you know you're going to be
right. Like March, I'm, you know, taking vacation, you know, or taking 2 weeks, 11 days off there, so.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, as long as you're back below that level by March,
right.
Does that seem reasonable?
Right, by the end of March, yeah.
Yeah. That's what's going to happen here.
Do you want to entertain a motion?
I make a motion that as long as Jeremy uses it within a half year, within a half year is 2 days.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to give Jeremy until the end of March to get back to 256. Any further discussion? On there.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Thanks for reminding about the addressing that.
Yeah.
So I got the video there.
I even did that too. I even moved to city business. So.
Okay, so with that, then I entertain a motion to recess the city council meeting for November 28th.
Any motion to recess the city council meeting?
Second. So moved and seconded to recess the Hamburg City Council meeting November 28th, 2017. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are in recess.
Okay.
I will entertain, we won't be meeting to move the polls because two, is everybody or just?
I would prefer to have mine closed for certain reasons.
Okay. So then we'll go ahead and we'll proceed in an open meeting right now for the other two city employees, and then we'll end up moving, having a motion to close it for statute.
Okay. So I have Greg's now. Well, we do. Greg's. Tamara, would you mind making copy of your own for the council?
Yeah, I don't have, mine's at home, like the copy you gave me.
I have.
Oh, okay.
Greg, you want to come up in the comfy seat so we can grill you from there?
I'll just give council an opportunity to go through Greg's review here. everybody a chance to go through it? I'm going to go line item by line item quickly through it. So, performance evaluation criteria, one, quality work, knowledge, job skills. I think there Greg exceeds expectations. Greg does a lot of things that I don't even need to ask him to do. There's many things Greg just takes upon himself to do and get things done. And I think in the line of duty, just Greg's experience alone adds a lot. I mean, he's very diverse in many fields. Efficient and productive there also. Greg's very efficient and productive worker. Ask him to do something, he does it, it's done. Dependable, reliable. Greg's very dependable and reliable employee. I mean, he's a consistent 7-3-30. Public contact. I think Greg does a good job in that also. He takes the effort and the time to communicate with the public and staff. Typically comes up, meets with us on a daily basis. City policies. No issues there. We haven't had any city policy conflicts or issues. Initiative, industrious, takes direction. This is one of the things I really love about having a worker like Greg. I don't have to drive around town all the time, see what Greg's doing, monitor him. If there's something that needs to be done, Greg does it. Prime example is just even the simple things of, you know, a door bugging him. You know, it only takes so many times, and Greg's like, that's it, I'm taking that door apart, I'm fixing that. Even just that squeak, you know. So I love the initiative Greg takes in doing things. You know, sometimes things don't get done all the time because you got to order parts and, you know, some of them things. But if Greg sees it, he gets it done. Staff relations. I think Greg treats everyone with dignity and respect. He has very good staff relations. Accepts change. I mean, the biggest thing I think for Greg is, you know, coming from bigger areas to the small town where you're a little bit more on a watch. You have a few more hats you have to wear now. You're not in one specific department. You are the departments. He's adapted to those adversities very well. Groundkeeping, snow removal, you know, we control those type things. You see it. Park looks great. Buildings, takes care of the buildings. Safety conscious. I believe Greg to be a safety conscious employee. I always encourage him to ask for help or assistance when needed. I also, you know, prioritize that safety should always be a priority. If we don't have the equipment to do something, it shouldn't be done. I mean, it's that simple. Greg's a reliable and dependable employee, and we need him. Building and equipment maintenance. Here's another one of the things I really think council should know about some of the things Greg does with building and equipment. A prime example is just the city vehicles. There's a lot of cost savings there with his mechanical skills. Not many people have that opportunity to have someone like Greg that's well diversified in his job. I also think there's times where Greg takes on of items of his own for use of city. Community hall shop. I think he does a good job in keeping the hall. About the only thing I just like to see, you know, maybe the community center here get a little more TLC, you know. Wastewater and water. I think this is something that also really needs to be pointed out is that in a 3-year period, which is the minimum to obtain your licenses. Greg has done that. I mean, that shows dedication to his job. And it is a huge, huge asset to have that, because that's just two more things Greg's got to take care of, worry about. I mean, not only public works, streets, buildings, you know, for someone to go out and get their licenses and pass first time on both their licenses, I'm very impressed with that. And I really want to point that out to council that, you know, last year he obtained his Class D sewer, got his Class C this year. And that takes some time and dedication to achieve those items. So accomplishment, new abilities. There again, you know, obtaining his Class C license. Greg continues to make improvements in doing things in the shop, maintenance, wastewater. He's done a good job staying on top of that when he had quite a monumental task out there when he first came here. I mean, them ponds were nowhere near what they are today. So he continues to keep up on that and buildings. You know, as I've said, you know, the accomplishment of his licenses in such a, you know, in a minimal time. Greg also does an exceptional job in maintaining city vehicles, which I've pointed out. Also, I love the initiative. I know it benefits Greg as well as the city, but the initiative he's taken to get the meters out. I believe Greg has 58 outside radio reads installed. I know we're just now starting the inside, changing over into the new meters, but yeah, that's pretty good accomplishment, getting that many done. Just areas of improvement. Just one of the things is kind of, I think will probably be a issue with all us employees or us as staff is making sure project lists are done in a timely manner. I have addressed that with Greg, myself, and staff of taking care of and taking steps to make sure that the project gets list done. So what we've talked about was, one of the things was when Chris has his mayors in, one of the things we've talked about too, that's monthly. It's a good opportunity to meet with the mayor. I think not only is it good for Chris to meet with the public, I think it'd be good to meet with the employees also. Take some time, meet with employees. That way he can see what we got going on, what needs to be done. And then along with that, that we would meet monthly and weekly, which we already do, but we need to get in the habit of taking notes, writing these things down on the project list. So that's really, you know, kind of the main things of improvements, recommendation, professional development. Biggest thing, I think one of the greatest things we did was hire Mr. Reitz to help with the water and sewer. And I wholeheartedly encourage Greg to utilize Kurt as much as he can. And the guy has a wealth of knowledge, 20 plus years of knowledge. I believe he has his Class A. I mean, he's up the ladder 35 years, I apologize. So, you know, that, and then also any local meetings that are beneficial, and probably one of the biggest things you do is networking with other cities. You know, I always believe in, you know, working smarter, not harder. Additional comments, just want to point out the responsibilities, you know, that Greg has taken on and his initiative. And perseverance. I mean, it wasn't easy for Greg to step in and be behind the ball a little bit there, you know, on a lot of projects, and he's taken on those duties and tackled them. You know, my biggest thing with the additional comments is just, you know, the value Greg brings to the city. And then just additional comment I made is I probably say this every year, but I find Greg to be a huge asset to the city. Greg's type of worker that's punctual and detailed. He's a dedicated employee and takes pride in his work, and I thoroughly enjoy working with Greg. It's nice to have an employee that just gets things done, and you don't have to look over their shoulder. If council has any comments, questions, concerns, or if Mr. Schultz has.
Council? Greg, as you're out and about in the city, you're probably the one person that gets more in contact with the citizens than the rest of us. I mean, for the most part, they got to come up here to see the staff up here, or they got to find one of us someplace, wherever we may be hiding out around town. What are you sensing out there? What are some things that you're seeing that people are giving you as, you know, accolades and comments of good jobs out there, and then also what are you seeing out there, what are you hearing out there that it's like, okay, what could we be doing a little bit differently to help make your job run a little bit smoother?
What are people saying to me about?
Yeah, just when you're out and about, I mean, obviously, you know, people probably, I'm presuming that people will stop by from time to time and they'll say this, that, or the other thing. Are there some things that have stood out over this year that you were like, hey, that, you know, people really appreciate that we do this, that, or that, or the other thing? And then at the same token, are there some things that the council can give direction to help make your job, you know, a lot more comfortable?
You don't get a lot, but I do get other voice from people say, say they see what this year, he said, you know, he said this park has never looked better, and you know, we get a lot of public comments and stuff, and I get that. And there's people too that everybody's got their own agenda. Somebody wants this and somebody wants that, and that's on a daily basis. Somebody's gonna look at something, but say sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. I mean, I guess I get that. I talked to a lot of people during the day, you know, and especially like we have to go up in meters and stuff. A lot of people see me come and they come out of the house and they talk and stuff. And, you know, generally, a lot of it's good. What can we do better? I don't know. I just wanted to, like I said, I get good and bad. That I do get is office hours. That's something that people say, you know, in the office open at 8 o'clock or something like that. Better than that, I don't get, you know, like I said, generally people just talk. So you're not going to get a head of what I know. When's this going to get done, or when's that going to get done, or, you know, I'm really thinking about our street that we don't want to be saying a lot of questions that people, but I kind of want to answer them, you know, either, you know, it takes money to do stuff too, and, but I do get his street done, and I don't want to shape them bad, and, you know, that's why I think it's done. I guess a lot of that stuff, but it's, does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's kind of what I was trying to gauge is, because like I said, you had the most contact, I would say, out of any of us in the city staff and on the council. And I don't mean that in a sense that, you know, that we don't proactively try to get information from everybody else, but you're out there on a daily basis and people come to you. And like you say, there's probably some that have their agenda that they're going to try to bend your ear one way or the other. And that, but it's just good to get the feedback to find out what's really happening out there.
There is complaints I can never remember everybody's phone number, so.
Yeah. But no, I think, I mean, you are a huge asset to the city. I mean, there are things that we have seen done over, you know, the last couple of years, you know, not just this year, that weren't getting done before. That were either just totally being neglected, or they just, for whatever reason, fell off the list. And I thank you for the times that you have put your project list together, but what I would look forward in 2018 to see that more often. Because the long arm agreement was that if you could help provide it, that would help obviously bring some efficiency here, but also that would free up your Tuesday evenings that I have to conquer as well. And I have addressed that with the other staff members too, to make sure those project lists are, because one of the things I with those project lists, the goal is not to have a conversation with Greg sitting here for a half an hour whether or not when we're going to get the lights on back for the Minnesota flag. Well, Greg knows it's got to be done. He knows what's already taken place. If he writes it simply down in that spreadsheet, we're all on the same page, and we shouldn't have to worry about that. And that makes better use of Greg's time too, in that, and our time as well. So again, like I said, I appreciate you doing the ones you have, but just I'm looking for 12 out of 12 next year. Council, any thoughts? No.
Well, oh, anyone's doing a good job, because every time I drive around through town, he's always busy doing something. So I drive through a lot of towns, and I work with a lot of city employees, and I know one thing. There's a lot of slough box out there, and very annoying all this. They get in their little truck in the morning, and they go and find the nearest tree that they can hide behind, but that's all it does. You don't see it until maybe noon. Good job, Greg.
Greg, is there anything from the professional development standpoint that we can help clear the way for you?
No, the guy in terms of been good too. I've been going to a bunch of classes, and analysts have kind of $125 here or there, but they're good classes, and I don't screw up and stuff. I mean, there's a lot of good information and stuff, so I see them come up if I ask.
We encourage it.
Yeah, that's one thing I'll say. With this over Carver County never seen me having money for any kind of ongoing education. And here, you know, if you ask, it's pretty much all it's granted. Like I said, it's the benefit of the city anyway. And I'm happy to do it. And like I said, as they come up, I try to avoid the ones I can't. If they're ones I can't do my job. So.
Just wish more of them were closer.
Do you have anything else to add, or anything to that nature, or any council have anything else to add? Well, thank you, Greg.
Thank you.
And Tamara has agreed to be in an open meeting, so we'll continue the open meeting from now.
Again, I'll just give council some time to go through it quickly. Everyone ready? Yeah? All right. All right, so I'll go with the performance evaluation for Tamara. performance evaluation criteria. I think Tamara's doing a good job in learning many aspects of the job. Here and there each year, take on a little more, learn a little more. It's a lot to take in. But I think she's meeting them expectations. Efficient and productive. Tamara's efficient and productive in completing tasks. One of the things I talked about was that we try to make sure that we get receipts and bills entered on a daily basis, so we can ensure accuracy and double check our work there. Dependability, reliability. Tamara works a flexible schedule, but does try to maintain core hours and work extra hours when needed when I'm out or on vacation. Public contact. This is one of the areas I really love about having Tamara as an employee. She does a great job interacting and communicating with the public in a positive manner. She always seems to have a good vibe going on about her. So, adherence to city policies. There too, same with any of the employees. We really haven't come across any issues with city policies. Initiative, industrious, and takes direction. Tammin, over the past year, has proven to be industrious just when we did the office renovations. She just kind of took that upon herself to get it done, and it was nice to see that. I think she even went a little more above and beyond by sprucing up the office a little more to give it a little more of comfort level than just being bland. So, in completing other tasks, I haven't had no issues with Tamara. Typically completes her tasks. Staff relations. She treats all staff members in a polite and professional manner. Accepts change. Tamara's been very flexible in her work and has accepted any changes that have been implemented. Cooperation, teamwork. She has a positive attitude and works well with others. Flow of information, communication. She's been proficient in communicating information to staff. Utility billing. She's done a good job in maintaining the utility bills as she continues to learn all aspects of the program. One of the things there is, it's kind of an ongoing thing, and we've never had the proper support with the program, but now we do have that technical support that we're paying for, and we had the training this year, so I think that'll also help her to understand and learn the program a little better now. Council meeting minutes, completes minutes in timely manner. I always recommend Tamara to continue to ask questions in order to keep the minutes accurate. Sometimes it's difficult to hear it on the tape, and sometimes we go from one subject to another or forget one and come back to it and those type things, but we just want to make sure that we keep it accurate. Record keeping. Tamara's done a great job organizing and maintaining records. Just one of the main things I recommend that she works with me, and I also oversee to make sure that we are getting the bills entered on a daily basis and make sure that we have items entered into QuickBooks and the claims list correctly. I've talked to Tamara, just kind of some of the things is it gets a bit confusing with QuickBooks. With some of the data entry. And I've talked to Tamara on that because sometimes things don't get where they're put, but that's part of the learning curve also. And then also just making sure claims list matches QuickBooks, that we make sure we ensure that is correct and that they match. Accomplishments and abilities. Basically, my main thing is just done a great job in organizing the office during the renovation. Also seen, her ability to utilize the utility billing program more. Areas of improvement. Just one of the things they talked about was just the entries into QuickBooks. And then claims list, check for accuracy. And then just that we do try to get bills and receipts done on daily basis, and that we both check them. Then also, I just would probably, until Tamara's comfortable, make sure that we keep that utility billing support from Banyan. I mean, that program there's a lot to it, and the interface is a little different than others, but we have looked at other programs, and I don't know, they kind of seem to be a horse apiece. And the cost of changes in time is quite sufficient. So I think the training helped. And even maybe down the line, it may be good to have a refresher. So I encourage Tamara to educate herself through seminars and workshops offered by Minnesota Clerks, Finance Officers Association, League of Minnesota Cities. One of the things I'd recommend is, as Tamara continues to grow in her work field here, is to attend like the MCFOA conference you know, in March. It's a 3 or 4 day conference, and it comes in, covers a lot of items. I find Tamara to be a productive and valuable employee. I love the positive and encouraging attitude she has and how she shows it to the public. I think that's her absolute strong point is her public relations. And then also I just recommend Tamara to continue and expand her duties as the clerk in order to better grasp all aspects of the job. And in this job, you're always learning, so.
Council, any comments, questions, concerns, please?
Well, I don't know much about what you do, Tamara, but I didn't know when I walked in the office, you always got a smile on her, always a cheery person, so that I do know. The rest of it is all Greek to me, what you do. I have to send my pigeon over to tell him.
Any thoughts from your end, Tamara?
Thoughts from that? I'm going to toot my own horn. and just say that, like, when I notice that a procedure could be done differently or create a procedure for something, then I do that. I had the idea of doing this newsletter so that our residents would be more informed and we could get information out there about things that we need them to do or upcoming events or things for them to be aware of. And when I started that, we thought about doing it just twice a year, and then our awesome mayor decided it should be quarterly, so I'm trying to keep up on doing that quarterly, and I did do some price comparisons on whether it was better to do it, outsource that to a company to print them for us, or if it's more cost effective to keep it in-house. It's definitely more cost effective to keep it in-house, so we'll continue to do that. And I do love working with the public. I've worked in customer service most of my career, and child development and working with parents and stuff, so I appreciate that is recognized. I did have a gentleman stop in one day to pay his water bill, and on his way out he said, "Keep up the good work," and he said, "Oh, thank you." He goes, "No, really." He said, "There's been some talk around town among the older folk, and they all think you're doing a great job." And I was like, it was a great way to end the week and start my weekend, so that felt really good. Nice to know that there's positive talk out there than negative talk. I guess in terms of like expanding my learning, a couple things that I would like to do so that I am more proficient in QuickBooks is to see how the end of the month works, so I can see like what I do in entering affects how you have to change things or. So that'll help me know maybe better what I can do for them and to help you
we can go through that
at the end of the month. So that would be good. And then vacation coming up in March, I don't know, probably have to learn how to do payroll, so I need to learn to do that. So I think that's about it. I know two things that I'm challenged with, and one thing is definitely the meeting minutes. I find that to be the hardest aspect of my job, is doing the meeting minutes for our council meetings. I don't know why, but I definitely, it's a room for improvement for me and learning how to do a better job with that. So I continue to work on that. And then Mint's back with the permits. They did send us a letter saying they were willing to come in here and teach us kind of the whole aspect of permitting and how, what they have to do and how what we do helps them and vice versa. So I think we'll definitely look into doing that because that would be really beneficial.
Yep. For yeah, well,
need to learn more about that.
Well, they have their downtime here now.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's about it. Yeah. Thank you.
In regards to your proficiency of the minutes, what do you see as the biggest block to obtaining that right now?
I think for me, it's because when I first started in this role, I tried to look back at how the other clerks, deputy clerks, did their meeting minutes, and so I was trying to mimic that, but we're trying to sway away from a lot of that detail that was put in there before, and just trying to keep things more shortened and just quick to the point. So that's kind of what I'm trying to figure out how to condense and keep the formatting the way that German would like it to stay.
I think what we try to do is minimize them. I mean, I think really. And then
because people could not listen if they wanted more detail.
Mm, right.
I mean, so I'll keep working on that. And then that, when we do these budget workshops, oh, that's so challenging for me. We're talking all these different wish lists and money and what we have here and there. And so.
I think really we can summarize that too by just stating what changes we made, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, just a piece of advice when it comes to the minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that will help the minutes out more going forward than it ever has in the past, and I don't mean to harp on it, but it is those project lists, whether it's coming from Schultz or it's coming from you, or whether it's coming from Tamara, or it's coming from the fire department. Because if you look back at the old minutes, there's a lot of coffee talk that gets captured in those minutes that don't need to be captured in minutes. I mean, in essence, minutes really only need to be who was there, when it opened, when a motion was made. You can put, the highlights, old business, new business, stuff like that. But the commentary isn't really necessary in the minutes. And I think that was our stumbling block in the past, and my minutes were always delayed, because it was almost like a dictation and not minutes.
And I think what we talked about was just like listing what the subject was and then putting no action taken.
Yeah.
Keeping it cut and dry.
Yeah, and that when you're right, if people want to listen to what the conversation was, they can kind of gauge based on the minutes where they can go into the system and listen to it.
Okay.
So that would be my piece of advice for that.
Thank you. And the project list, I've started to do a new way. I have it on my desktop now, so every day, so that way I'm not forgetting to do it or. So I'm trying to, make sure that I'm doing it and we'll have it every month.
Okay. And the project lists really are, to make sure that, like I mentioned before, if someone comes up and says we have lights out at the park, okay, we know that we have lights out at the park, what's being done, and then when it got accomplished. Or if someone comes up and has an issue with their bill, okay, what's the issue? What are we doing as staff to resolve it? And if there is action that the council needs to be, then it needs to answer. Otherwise, it's just more of an FYI for us as council, as well as the rest of the staff. So if somebody does bring it up, what's going on with this? Well, if you look back at the project notes, you can see that this was being taken care of and worked on, and now it's complete, or it's going to be complete in November or whenever. So that way, there's not confusion lying around. I keep using the Minnesota flag because that was out for a while. We needed to get parts and things like that. Staff knew about the issue. I knew about the solution that was taking place. But there were others that still questioned why hasn't that been taken care of? Well, it is being taken care of. Sometimes parts take time to get delivered. I mean, they're just not always there. So that's what I would say for that. And then, as far as, and now that we have the two different offices in that, I know that was a big project and we appreciate you helping get that moving along. How are things in the office now that there's a little bit more separation?
I think it's good. I think there's more space. We're not as cluttered. We've only had to utilize shutting the door just a couple of times. But that's been helpful, especially if someone comes in and wants to meet with him. He can, doesn't have to go across the hall and shut the door and have his meeting. Or, if he's had a busy day, and I can feel stuff in there, keep him more quiet in there. So, I think it's really been beneficial.
Nice.
I like the half door too.
Lock the door, yeah.
The fucking half door, that's already pretty beneficial when some people come in. Some from coming right into your kind of your bubble space if they have an issue with the space.
So, and just kind of, I know. When you interviewed for this position, when this position was put in place and the personnel committee met about it, the idea behind this was kind of a max 25 hour per week. You know, I know obviously there's some weeks and some months that would be more than others. I noticed in the time frames, it looked like March, you're on the books for about 164 hours. Was there something that I missed in March that had her in the office?
Were you on your vacation at that time?
I'd have to look. My vacation was May, I believe. May, June. Where I took big, but I did. Yes, I did. Spring break.
Yeah, so I was trying to cover
the
whole interval.
I did take 5 or 6 days off in May.
Yeah.
March. Yeah.
Because May you had 2 weeks off in May or June, right?
Me?
No.
I don't take vacations.
June.
Yeah, because in June we have 127 hours on the books. So I was trying to figure out when I was looking at the raw numbers why some of these are larger. And I agree when Jeremy's out, we need to have coverage. And I don't think anybody's in disagreement with that because the hours are 8 to 4:30. We want to make sure we maintain it.
Yeah.
But I just...
I honestly, I can't remember right now. I have to kind of go back a month.
Yeah, I know March I took like at least.
And I'm trying to think where
like painting
and stuff too.
Yeah, that could have been.
Stuff I was doing a lot more painting and cleaning and scrubbing the floor on my hands and knees. So
okay. I mean, I'm just curious.
Yeah.
We want to be as good steward as we can of taxpayers' money, but at the same token. We know the office needs to be covered from 8 to 4:32, so I don't want to. It's a fine balance to maintain, but that's one of the things that we're here to do, is try to maintain. I mean, not you putting it on your shoulders to maintain it for you. It's not totally your position to do that, but just was curious if you had insight into that time frame. So. Same thing, like I asked Taco Greg, is there anything else? I mean, you've listed a couple of things that you'd like to work on yourself, but is there anything else that, I mean, the direction of the council or from assistance from staff that would help make your job more efficient or enjoyable?
Well, we talked about having more powwows between us so that we can. You know, all be on the same page and know what we're doing. And then I was thinking about trying to have some type of a connective calendar on the computer somehow so that, we know Greg's going to be gone Friday and, Jeremy's got this going on, I've got something going on, and we could just have one spot that we can see that. So that would be helpful too. Otherwise, I have all these little notes around my desk. And my head goes, whoa, there's too much stuff.
Council, any other thoughts or questions, concerns, grades, anything? Jim, anything else?
No, nothing else there.
Well, thanks.
Thank you.
And apparently that guy that came in, that was probably the one guy who never shut the water off on him.
Took my horn on that one too. Water bills. I've tried very hard to get people to start paying, and we have started to shut people off, and, you know, get people that are upset, but at the same time, I'm trying to dwindle that list every month so that we don't have as much outstanding on our water bills. So I've worked really hard on that, and also, you know, we're all working on the violations and just trying to really back down. So.
Yeah. The people that understand that, the people that are responsible in this town and do pay their water bills all the time, now they're probably, with all the stuff that Greg needs to incorporate into the water system, they're going to get socked, and the people that aren't paying are still ain't going to pay. So, which people understand that, it's just what they're doing. They think they got bad money, have to pay ours every year or every month because they're not paying theirs. That's why ours are going up.
Anything else, Council Tanner? If not, then I will look for a motion to close the meeting for employee evaluation of Jeremy Grunhagen per Minnesota State Statute.
Per Minnesota State Statute, I move to close the meeting for Jeremy Grunhagen's employee review.
Second. Moving second to close the meeting per Minnesota State Statute to evaluate Jeremy Grunhagen. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Okay.
Okay. I look for a motion to reopen the City Council meeting for the Hamburg City Council on November 28th at 10:09:52.
Make a motion to reopen the City Council meeting November 28th at 9:52.
Second. We're moving second to reopen the City Council meeting on November 28th, 2017 at 9:52. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are back in business. Employee wages, health care insurance. Jeremy passed out the health care coverage for the two full-time employees. And I believe it's what we currently have is on the left, right, Jeremy, for any in 2016?
Yes.
And what we have is on the right.
So you see the 12/1/2016 and then the 12/1/2017. Because I believe Chris explained last meeting, we kind of were bucking the system a little bit, beating Obamacare the 1 year. So our renewal moved to December.
Jeremy, did you say they increased the deductible?
Yes. As you can see, it says HSA 2250, RX Plus. Well, now it's HSA 2500, RX Plus. So that's for single, but for family, then you double that. So it was 4500, now it is 5000 for family.
And last year we had the deductible, you said it was at 2250, or do we have it at
2500. Yes, correct.
So those that are new on council, 4 years ago, I think it was, we started rolling back the deductible.
Mm-hmm.
We had been rolling it back, I believe it was $500, right? A year we had been rolling it back.
Mm-hmm.
From the 4500.
Yep. Correct.
So if we were to keep pace with what the conversation was with previous council, it doesn't mean we have to keep pace, but if we do, then the notion would be is that we would reduce the deductible to 2,000. And so what that means there is that's what the city would be on the hook for, to help the employees out. So the first $2,000 of the employees would have to pay, the city actually would pay it. and then they would be on the hook for the next up to the deductible of $5,000 now?
Correct.
Okay. But it was $4,500 last year. So the reason I bring that up is if we continue on, we're actually going to reduce it by $1,000. Because it went up $500 and we reduce it by $500. If we do it. But otherwise, it looks like we're looking at a 7.4% increase in benefit to the employees. Any questions anybody has about the numbers or anything that anybody has about the coverage or the deductible or any of it?
The numbers you said roll back 500, but then you said it'll actually be 1,000.
Yeah.
You lost me right there.
Okay, so last year's out-of-pocket deductible for the employees was 4,500. That was the max out-of-pocket. This year it's 5,000. So if we keep it at 2,500, they're actually going to have an extra 500.
They're still up to pay the extra.
But if we roll back to 2,000, now we've made a $1,000 gap between what they have to have out of pocket and the city would be paying.
Gotcha. For. Okay.
So. And as you can see, Jeremy's listed there on the right hand side of the deductible. If we were to roll back anything from the 2,500, you can see that's what the increase would be.
Mm-hmm. The percentage
in
area.
Benefits. And not to say that we have to do it this year, but in councils past, councils have taken consideration of that increase in benefit that the city pays for the employees in reference to potential increase in wage.
Formula that you were using in the past seems to work, and it's fine with Jeremy. He's happy
with
it.
Yeah, I've been fine with it.
And it seems to be working all right. I mean, I'm new to this, so how you used to do it. Steve, you were on the council.
Jeremy's here now, it says 2017. The city actually pays the $21 a bit a year.
Correct.
And that's what it went up. That's what it went up. That's what it's in for.
Yeah, you can see the difference in the percentage.
Yeah.
I try to break it down about as detailed is.
What is the deductible
you can get it.
Done in years past? You said it went up 500 this year. Say last year, what did it do last year? Do you remember?
250 or 500. 500. Lately it's been about 500 each year now.
It keeps going up.
Yeah. But that's only been probably the last 2 or 3 years that it's increased.
Yeah.
And that's all due to changes in the ACA.
Last year must have been 2250. This year down to 2500, right? For the deductible.
Right, but then double that for family.
Yeah, right.
Right, correct.
Also for those new on the council, the broker we have, the reason why you see just one, I mean, this is the best that the broker has. We've tried in years past to kind of run it through a different broker, and we find that the broker we've been using, the city's been using for a number of years now, is always getting the best possible price.
And the thing is, with insurance, that's built into your premiums, whether you use a broker or not. So,
it'd be a great world if we didn't have to pay for this.
Yeah, I I think everybody's in agreement.
So what's the council's wishes? Do we want to do the $2,500 deductible, or do we want to go something lower, or what?
I guess my personal take is I'm fine with keeping their deductible at $2,500. I mean, they're taking a $500 hit already, correct? Just from the deductible going up on its own.
Yep.
So anything further would just be. That's, I don't know, that's my take, I guess.
Okay. Councilman Buckingham?
Just other thing to point out, because we have some new, I guess I should have did that initially. Well, the cities has always paid the employees' health insurance, because employees haven't asked for dental, life, short, long-term, or any of those other type insurances, so.
Yeah.
Councilman Travis?
You know, my insurance went up 9% this year. It's going to go up 9%. And we did a run-up lot. And glasses, dental, and all that is extra, whatever you want to take in that insurance plan. So insurance is expensive. And it is a benefit, but yeah, stuff like that, you just got to get it, that's all. So, this is about what I've got, but we went up 9%. I was surprised to see we went up 7.43% here. And I think that's up $2,500 deductible.
Well, I'll entertain a motion for what the council would like to do.
I move to keep the deductible $2,500 for 2018.
Second. So moved and seconded to go with the HSA $2,500 RX Plus at $2,500 deductible. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Alright. Add that into the budget. Last piece of business that we have on the docket for this evening is the employee wages for 2018. I don't know if employees want to say anything or not, or that, but just to keep the council in mind, for the full-time employees, we just did give them kind of a pseudo 7.43% increase in their benefits. Not their wages, their benefits. So, look for a comment on the council. Maybe what we can do is we can take them one by one and go that way. Unless the council has any other thought on it. And from there.
Have you got any kind of a standard over the years of what percentage that you would give with what you give in benefits?
I've been on council 9 years?
Nine years?
And it's ranged from 1 to 3%.
Yeah.
There's no rhyme or reason. Last year, I believe 1%.
Correct.
Was it because I think insurance went up 14? Was it?
Yeah. Yeah, there were other factors.
Yeah. So I mean that's so part of the reason we went up 1%. And I think we went differently on Greg Phillips. Did we go 1% on Greg last year? 1% or did we go up $1?
1%.
1%.
1%.
And then he got $1 for his license.
I guess that's what
that's what it was.
I knew he got something.
Yep.
$1
for his license. Correct.
So. So why don't we start, as you guys are thinking about the full-time employees, we'll start with our part-time employees. Tamara. And right now, surely, it's $11.75 an hour. Thoughts on what we would want to do with that? $11.75 an hour.
We obviously have to take into consideration that she's not getting
right
benefits of a full-time employee, obviously. He said 3% was roughly
35 cents.
Yep.
I'd be okay with 1.50 cents. I mean, would that be 4%?
Does that sound 4% is 47 cents a year.
So I mean, it's just to keep things
nice and even.
I don't know if that's fair. I'm just throwing that out there for conversation.
I think you have a really excellent job there. I think you're about right off the top. And then you go to balance the attack. We lose her, it's just going to put a heavy load on the family. I just think this kid was about to be an American thing.
Well, $24 increase.
That's my thoughts. Everybody's got their own.
No, I mean, I could be persuaded on that. I mean, I knew it should be higher. I didn't know.
No.
I've never done this.
That's why we're discussing it.
Yeah,
and having the conversation. So.
Yeah.
Any additional thoughts?
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Yeah. I entertain a motion then.
I make a motion to give Assistant Clerk Tamara $1 per hour.
Second.
So moved and seconded to increase Deputy Clerk Utility Billing Clerk Ron. Wage by $1, effective January 1, 2018. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes.
Thank you.
Now we'll go ahead and move on to the full-time employees. We can either do them together or separate. They obviously, you know, we don't have to do the same. If we want to tackle one at a time, I'm open to whichever way that the council wants to go. Do you want to tackle one at a time or do them both at the same time? One at a time? Okay, then let's start with maintenance, Schultz. Currently, Schultz is at $22.55. So if you're trying to figure out from a percentage standpoint, you're looking at 23 cents for every 1 cent, 1%.
Hold on.
Oh, I got, well,
let's make sure But this Class C, maybe that isn't in there. Good catch, Greg. Because you passed your C license this year, right? And that was what, spring? Faster computer in the budget, maybe. There we go. Greg is correct. I apologize. $23.55 with the $1 increase this year to the first Class C water license. Yes. Because I just pulled up his payroll slip, so it is correct. Yeah, because it goes all the way back to April.
You say 1% Christmas?
It's about 24. It went up a penny.
Right.
That's coming so.
So 1% is roughly 24 cents, 47 cents, 2%, 71 cents, 3%, if you're looking at numbers.
And you're just putting between 1 and 3?
Yeah. I've not been in council yet where it's going to be more than 3. If you look at it, this year, I think we did 1% last fall, and then you get the $1 bump when he passed his license, which was part of the contract when we hired him.
2% we put Greg at 24 or 3.
Yep.
Insurance is a benefit for does cost money for the city.
Keep the deductible the same. That sounds like past councils are come up with a $500 fine essentially.
Insurance is a benefit.
Yeah.
It does cost the city money.
Yep, yeah, definitely.
And unfortunately, it keeps going up.
Yeah.
No council, is there any other discussion? Otherwise, if not, I entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion
So moved and seconded to increase maintenance worker Greg Schultz's wage by 2% effective January 1st, 2018. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Okay.
Who made the motion?
Yes.
Scott.
Which of you seconded it?
Passes. Okay, that leaves our final employee. So right now, current salary is $59,415.88. So every 1%, we're looking at an increase of $594.
You're about right, yeah. Correct.
Council?
So you take 59, you said that's not the insurance added?
No, that's just strictly
so
straight up.
The benefit for the insurance added is like $20,979.
I'm kind of thinking that same 2%. I mean,
thoughts on Bowman or Travis? Any thoughts, comments? 2% raise would look, if we do a 2% raise, it's 1,000.
The damage got more insurance.
1188 would go
up. You can't factor that in, to be honest. You can't factor that in. It's illegal.
Insurance.
By comparing one to another.
Oh, comparing.
Yeah.
I take that back.
I just don't want to.
Yeah.
For the state statute. $600 for 1%.
don't have to do full percentage. So, whatever.
That's what I'm thinking.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm still, me personally, I'm at 2% there. I just feel
50%.
Yeah.
What's 2% total on a year?
1188.
One of the highest. Let's see. That's 1% more than I'm getting this year. I know what I'm getting. I'm getting. We haven't had a raise in 3 years. Like, our wage is on. The problem is now, as you get older, with mine, definitely Social Security, and then the last 4 years I've gone backwards. How can we do that to you?
At least you'll get it.
I wouldn't bet on it yet, Jeremy. I wouldn't bet on it. I'll have to work at least till I'm 70.
Be that old Walmart greeter until you're...
I could get away with that.
Entertain a motion at any point in time.
I'll make a motion to give Jeremy 2% raise.
I'll second it. Been moved and seconded to increase Jeremy Drahan's wage by 2% effective January 1st, 2018. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
Got a nay.
Any other business for the good of the city at 10:26? If not, I look for a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Moving second to adjourn the city council meeting on 20th of November at 10:26. All in favor?
Okay.
Opposed? Adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Who seconded it?